It's very difficult to not choose Deb. I mean, Deb is
everything.
Deb is my whole world, basically. Yeah, I will burn the city down for Deb. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love having our 100th episode.
Woo! Yeah, baby. I wish I had like a confetti popper right now. I didn't plan a hunt. It is a week of celebration. This is honestly a big deal. It's very exciting. This is the 100 episodes of talking about our queen, obviously, fangirling over these wonderful friendships and, you know, first loves, coming of age. Mentioning Taylor Swift probably all 100 episodes as well. The amount of times we both said lots of Dr. Pepper. Overall, so many 100 things. I can't believe here we are, 100 episodes.
I know.
Also, this is a full week-long celebration, even in chaos. I mean, this week we're kind of just, we're celebrating this week. It's celebratory. So we have a fun special drink we're doing for chaos. So get excited, everyone. I don't know. I'm excited. But tonight I did pour myself. I felt like champagne was like a celebratory thing. So I had a little peach Bellini. So I decided to pour this for myself. So cheers, everyone.
Cheers. I have a cup of coffee.
I love that. That is also delicious. And I also have water because, you know, it's good for you.
Of course. You need to hydrate.
Yeah.
In this economy.
In this economy. Boy, do you. So here we are. 100 episodes. I'm eating a snack, everyone. Don't mind me.
Oh, my goodness. Willow is sneezing up a storm here.
Willow.
So many exciting things happening this week. Like, things are changing. Things are on the horizon. And one of those things is we will be releasing this episode on YouTube. I don't know why I said it like that. We will.
You can see our faces now. And you can see when we're eating snacks.
Yes, you can see us eating snacks. You can see my portrait of my dog. And
that's beautiful.
That was expensive and worth it. And
that sweet, sweet Eras tour poster in the background. I see
yes,
you.
Yes, naturally. Also a giant picture of Taylor Swift that I didn't really mean to buy, but the artist was kind of like standing there staring at me.
And then it got awkward. And also you need a giant photo of Taylor Swift, I think, to be honest.
Honestly, you're right. You're right.
No shame in that. This wall behind me, which is currently blank, is about to be my Taylor Swift wall. I'm just piecing together a few more things before I put it all up, but it's coming together and I'm very excited about it.
I love it.
I did also promise my husband, though, since I'm about to have a Taylor Swift wall, that he could bring one Metallica poster from back home to be hung in our office/guest room. So he did bring one up because I thought it was only fair. It's only fair.
Well, they have to at least have one thing. Andrew has a little Dragon Ball Z thing over there that I'm like, you know what?
I guess. I also did my nails in celebration. I was kind of trying to go for like that summer nails, the colors that are in that, in honor of the 100 episodes, since that's the book that, you know, started it all.
Oh, I love that.
So that was my vibes of my nails this week. So I hope everyone enjoys that. And now you can see them. These are new things that you wouldn't have been able to see before. So get excited.
Congratulations, y'all.
Yeah, it's big.
We're upgrading.
But yes, today we posted about a couple days ago. We're doing a side character bracket. We're using this term loosely, okay, everyone, because we wanted to basically, for all the books that we have read thus far up until what we are currently reading, which is The Moon and More, have someone represented that wasn't the main protagonist. Obviously, all these stories are told first person, so we didn't want it to be the main protagonist. We probably will do like a main character bracket someday, but we love our side characters. They're like the things that flesh out the novels, and we like probably fangirl about the most when we're reading these.
Yes.
since day one, you know, with Gwendolyn Rogers, and it's only gone from there. So we thought it was an appropriate way to celebrate 100. We've done a couple of bracket shows before on Chaos, which have been fun, and we have a good time with them. So we thought this was a good one, very obviously in Destin universe. So yes, so again, take the term. If they're not a love interest and they are not a protagonist of the novel, they counted as a side character in this. We have, of course, a sweet 16. Some of them. Of course. Did you put this in like a randomizer?
No, I tried to like,
or you just like picked them.
I tried to like, pick them, yeah.
Because we were coming up with the characters behind the little inside baseball behind the curtain. We're coming up with characters, and so obviously there was discussion of should we put people together, like our Isabel and Morgan, or like the Clementine girls. Should we put them in as like one unit? And we decided yes, because we wanted to cheat a little bit and have more characters this way and still have the 316. But basically, so we were just coming up with different things, putting them kind of in order. And then Mike Lane obviously made it into the bracket that we see here today. And some of these first rounds are tough, but I think it is kind of like a one seed playing a one seed. It's kind of by seeds in a sense. So we'll see. Yeah. It's going to be, I'm scared, but excited to break it down.
I'm scared, but excited too. I have not filled this out beforehand. I think last time we did a bracket, I did not. I'm going in blind here with this one. Also, I keep forgetting we are recording video. I'm sorry. It's probably going to take us like a few episodes to adjust to being on camera.
We're not used to, we only see each other's faces. We're not used to all of you being able to see our faces. So, sorry.
Suko, why'd you bonk your head?
Suko.
My dogs are being the dogs, you know. Okay.
The ush. I think I finished my snack, guys, so you won't have to watch me eat anymore. Okay.
Perfect. Okay, so the first one is tough. We have Scarlett v. Jamie.
This is very difficult. Truly.
I know.
Truly difficult. Scarlett is another one. We have Jason on here, which is another character. Well, a few characters show up again, but Scarlett is one that shows up with a meatier role in another novel because she does, of course, have that little bit in This Lullaby.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a tricky one because you do get two novels worth of character growth, as opposed to Jamie, of course, has only really been featured so far in Lock and Key. Scarlett, I know, is a fan fave. Obviously, she has a very important storyline in the novel that we are introduced to her in, and in Someone Like You. And I love her.
Yeah.
But I also really love Jamie, and I love his love for Christmas sweaters, and just like how sweet he is to Cora and Ruby, and like is so into making them have like a better childhood, like making up for them not having a childhood, basically. And I think that's just the sweetest thing. So I don't know. This one is very tough for me.
This one is tough because, yeah, like Scarlett does have a much bigger role.
Yes.
Obviously. She is way more important. But like Jamie, he's so wholesome and he's bringing those girls. Yes, the koi fish and the happiness and the dog and the everything. But then there's Scarlett.
Yeah, and she really, and the whole like best friend quote is in that, which of course is kind of about her. And that is one of my all-time favorite Sarah Dessen quotes. I don't know, y'all. This is tough. This is, why did we decide to make this bracket? This is terrible.
I know. This is very difficult. Somebody messaged us and was like, or I think it was on our Discord. They were like, this is like asking a parent to choose their favorite child. And I'm like, yes. I know. I literally don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think we should go Scarlett.
Yeah, I think just because of her importance. I mean, I love Jamie so much, but Scarlett, I just think is so much. And she's like the OG great female friendship, I feel like, in a Destin novel.
Yeah, she's the
and
first.
So we have to give her props. She can't go out in round one for that. So I think Scarlett advances for sure. All right, she's our first lock into the Elite Eight. Okay, Mira Sparks versus Boo and Stewart. Mira, of course, from a fan fave of Hate Spinner Bates, Keeping the Moon. And Boo and Stewart, of course, are from Dreamland, which, yes, as you all know, Mike, Lane, and I love, but also will never revisit.
No.
No, it's very difficult to get through. Very difficult. So with that said, Boo and Stewart. I love Boo and Stewart. I do have some small qualms with them. I think that Boo is a little like old school, like what do we call that? Second wave feminism? First wave, second wave feminism, I think, is second what she wave, is.
I believe, yeah.
And I love a feminist. I am a feminist. I identify as a feminist 100%. And a newer iteration of feminism, though, certain things that Boo believes in, I'm a little like, oh, yikes. but I do think overall they're good people. I think that they're someone that Caitlin definitely needed in Dreamland because that's such a heavy novel. And no offense to her mom, but her mom kind of sucked sometimes. Well, both her parents kind of suck sometimes. And I think that they were great support for her. Mm-hmm. But with that said, y'all, Mira Sparks is everything.
Yeah. I love that Boo and Stewart are able to like provide the comic relief that Boo doesn't really provide comic relief, but Stewart does. And yeah, that we need in Dreamland. I mean, you need a little bit of, you need to broken up a little bit. You need a guy who rides his bike into the clothesline.
Yes. Yes. I was going to bring that up. I do love that. That is really good, actually.
But yeah, Mira taught us to be everything. Who you are.
Puppy?
Excuse me.
He just wants to celebrate the 100th episode with us.
Yes, thank he you. Did. Mira Sparks taught us. Sounds like they're being abused.
It's like we've walked into a kennel.
Yeah, this is what my dogs sound like when my husband gets home. They're very excited. They're not being injured in any way. But yeah, Mira Sparks taught us how to be 100% authentically ourselves and love ourselves for it and not give a crap about what all those mean people say. Just like live your life, live your truth, live for yourself. I'm not live for yourself in a selfish way, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. But like look out for number one in that way.
Yeah.
Like, you're not hurting others or yourself, like you do you. She's a big yeah, proponent of that. And we love her for that.
She also loves to fix broken things. She thinks that everything has a place. Everything can be fixed. I love everything about Mira Sparks. Obviously, I'm obsessed. I designed a whole t-shirt for her.
Yes.
So I think Mira Sparks is the obvious call here.
Yeah. Mira is, yeah, she's, when I grow up, I want to be Mira Sparks. I say as an already adult woman, but
as someone who's probably the same age as Mira Sparks.
Yeah, was in that novel. But I still, I'm still growing up. Actually, like Swift once said, 32 and still growing up now, except now I'm actually 33, but that's not the lyrics.
So you know what? It's fine.
It's close enough. But yeah, it's Mira. All right. So in the Elite Eight, we will have Scarlet and Mira Sparks against each other. It's going to be another tough one.
That's
going to
be terrible. That's going to be something.
Truly something. All right. We have Gwendolyn Rogers, speaking of OGs, and our girl, Christy, from The Truth About Forever.
Yes.
Christy, obviously, again, it's a little bit of one of those kind of slightly imbalanced things because you have, mm-hmm, Christy, we have a lot more time with than we do Gwendolyn Rogers. I do think Gwendolyn Rogers, mm-hmm, is a fascinating character, though, and I love, yes, her.
Yes.
Christy is a lot like Mira to me, where I wish I could be much like Mira. I wish I'd be more like Mira. I wish I was more like Christy. I love, mm-hmm, that she just like wears what she wants to wear, says what she wants to say. I wish that I was like that. In the novel, she's what, like 16, 17, I believe. And I wish that I could have been that cool at 17 and like that. I don't give a damn about what other people think. She's truly just an absolute icon. She gave us Swoon. I mean, hello, iconic.
Iconic.
She's just like, Christy is the moment. Gwendolyn, again, I think it's such a really, even though we have very brief time with her, mm-hmm, I think she is a very important character. I think that she is, what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know. I'm brain farting, everyone. Mondays, am I right? she's like, you know, like her, she's very pertinent to the story, even though mm-hmm. she's not a big part of the story. Like she's great. And we love her.
She's the original side character.
Yes. Yes.
She is the OG. And like the side characters really evolve over time into something way bigger.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, she's our original side character. I think it's important to give her a shout out. I think she played a very important role, as you said, in that summer.
Such a place in my heart, for sure.
Yes. I wish we had an update about Gwendolyn Rogers.
Gwendolyn Rogers walked so Annabelle could run. You know what I mean? Like the Gwendolyn Rogers, like the Lakeview models, like that had to be, seed had to be planted in Sarah's mind so we could one day get Just Listen. So for that, we pour one out for you, Gwendolyn.
Yes. Yes. In my mind, she's like thriving and she like runs in eating disorder rehab.
Yes, I really hope that's the case for her. That's what I wish for her, for sure.
Yes, I love. Okay, so Christy obviously wins.
It's Christy. Like, Christy is one of my all-time favorite Dustin characters, so I'm sorry, y'all. Like, if you're going up against Christy, it's going to be a hard... I'm going to show my cards here, but it's going to be a hard battle to fight against my girl Christy.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so then next we have Mallory Armstrong, aka Owen's little sister, who would totally be a Swiftie, let's be honest.
Yes.
Versus the entirety of Tree Squad. So Ted, Lucas, and John. Y'all, I just, from the top of my head, those names came out. And that is impressive for me because we are always forgetting names.
I'm so proud of you. That was
amazing. Look at me go.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Truly. I should know their names for how many times I've read that novel, but that's not the point. can we quick pause in the bracket?
Yes.
We have to address the elephant in the room, which is apparently we are saying Emmeline's name wrong. Emmeline. And we did say when we first started this book that we were worried this was going to be another one that we're probably mispronouncing. And so, yeah, also 100 episodes of mispronouncing names. I like Emmeline better, everyone. I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to say Emmeline, but I might honestly keep saying Emmeline at this point. So just for, I don't know, for continuity's sake, for what I want to say. But I want you to know, yes, it has been pointed out to us. Yes, we are acknowledging it. We know that we are saying her name wrong. I'm sorry. But Emmeline sounds cooler. You can't argue with me and tell me that it doesn't sound cooler. It does.
You can't. I was so confident in that first episode, too. I was like, of course it's Emmeline. What else could it possibly be? I'm so confident. Everyone's like, it's Emmeline. I'm like,
it's Emmeline, actually. I'm like, oh, cool.
Right. But yeah, I will probably be slipping up and regularly calling her Emmeline because...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I apologize in advance.
It's like Jarvis, Gervais. Yeah,
Gervais. I'm sorry. It's just Jarvis that goes out in school. We really did try with Gervais. I think we did pretty well with it, but yeah, I apologize in advance for any time I slip up and continue to call her Emmeline, but we will try to call her by what the canon, aka Sarah Dessen, actually wanted her to be named. And what we've learned is that maybe we just need to buy the audiobook for each book listen to how it's pronounced, because clearly we struggle. It's fine. We're 100% in. We're fine. Okay, anyways, unpause, back to the bracket. Michael Ann does have The Bachelorette to watch, y'all. This is important stuff.
Yeah.
So.
New season, baby.
We have Tree Squad versus Mallory. Mallory is close to my heart because, again, I feel like I can relate to her a lot. I was that girl at 13 or whatever. I love her love for pop music. I love her love for, like, all things girly and wanting to do little fashion shoots with her friends, and I love like the dynamic between her and Owen. Like, she's great. She's also great levity and like good comedic relief in that story, which often very much needs it, because again, that's another story that can kind of weigh sort of heavy. So I love her for that. Tree Squad is fantastic, though. I love them as well. The Potato Opus, y'all. I love like all their weird, they're just so like, they can't pay a bill. And all of their weird little things, and like you, and just you can see these people, like these four people forming a band. Like, you can see them along with Dexter, like legitimately being friends, and legitimately like they're the bands. Crew Squad's got the bands, y'all. Like, they do have the bands. This is a little unfair advantage to Mallory because she's going up against three people. But I feel like my girl Mallory can take them. But I'm going to go ever so slightly for me personally, True Squad, even though I love my little pop princess Mallory.
Okay. I'm going to make a defense for Mallory.
Oh, okay. Hit me with it. I like it. I like it when we disagree because sometimes you can sway me.
So Mallory.
Yes. Hit me.
Is kind of like the epitome of the girl we all were at one point in our lives.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like, even if you are now relating to the protagonist or the mother.
The mother, sometimes. occasionally, I'm like, but they have a point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm old.
I'm old now, everyone.
But deep inside ourselves, we all have a Mallory. We all have a little crazy girl who loves music and models and is just doing fashion shows in her living room. And
100%.
And I just feel like, what is Sarah Dessen if not the young child inside of us all?
So true. I mean, she certainly is my inner 13-year-olds.
Yes.
As I started, I believe, yeah, it was about 12, 13 when I first picked up The Truth About Forever, my first Dessen novel. God, when you put it like that.
I know. That's the
thing. That's really hard. And yeah, I do. Like I said, I very much feel like I am a lot Mallory, especially at that age. I mean, honestly, still truly, I still love a good pop star. I still love, you know, like essentially I love going to weddings and stuff because it's an excuse to dress up. Like I still love dressing up. Yeah. I just now like do it at functions. Truly, I think I would just sit in my bedroom and still do it if I'm being really honest with myself. So, yeah, I think. And as Michael Ann can attest, I had a bobby pin I was fiddling with and it disappeared. So sorry. That's what I'm looking for now. Anyways, Michael Ann can attest, I love dressing up and taking pictures because that's basically what I did in Europe. I was like, okay, but y'all have this cute outfit and we need to get a good photo of it. So. And for that, I feel a true kinship with Mallory. And I think you said, yeah, I think we're voting for Mallory. Oh, God. Upset. The first upset.
I know. It's Mallory. It's just
moving on.
It's just, I feel it in my bones that it's Mallory.
Yeah. It's Mallory. On one hand, she had a disadvantage because she was going up against three people. But on the other hand, she has an advantage in which she is one person with one personality. And that has more time to shine through as opposed to, you know, Ted, Lucas, and John. Like, honestly, if you're like, which scene did John do? I'd be like, was that Ted? Was that Lucas? But like they all kind of blend together a little bit. And so in that sense, I think they have a slight.
Oh, you're gone.
Am I back?
You're back. Now all of our viewers will see our technical difficulties.
Yeah, technical difficulties. They have them a lot. All right. 100 episodes of technical difficulties. That's another one. Yeah. So there. So,
okay, the next one's tough, too.
All right, we have... Oh, gosh. All right, so we have Heidi versus Jason. Mm-hmm. And this is truly difficult because I think you all know, if you listen to our Along for the Ride episodes, how much we, and our episodes on the movie, how much we love Heidi. Heidi is our everything. She's our queen. But Jason is so interesting. He is the only character in this entire list to, like I said, Scarlett is like featured in two novels, but Jason is literally featured in three novels and has had like a true glow up, like has had true character development over novels. And if this was just like Jason versus Heidi and it was like just The Truth About Forever, I'd be like, fuck that guy. But this is the overall Jason, and Jason has come so far, and I love his character development, and I love his story, and I love that Sarah has brought him back a couple of times to touch base with him and to tell that story, and that just makes it really difficult.
Yeah, the character arc for Jason is what really gets me, because we'd love to see growth.
Yeah.
Excuse me. As you said, he's in three books.
Yeah.
Heidi's in quite a few books, too.
Yeah.
But she's not, but like, Jason as has, prominent. Like,
a good, I guess, honestly, probably, most recently, like, and what happened to Goodbye is probably Jason's most prominent story, would you say? I think I think he's more prominent in that than he is in The Truth About Forever, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Heidi has had a few shows. She, I mean, also featured in What Happened to Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that I'm going to have to go with Heidi on this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I just love Heidi so much. She's another person that I just, much like Mira for me, like, just has such a special mm-hmm. place in my heart. And a little bit, also a little bit like Jamie, in which she is just, like, so loving and accepting. And, like, these are things, again, I mean, I think all stepmoms and stepdads should be good people. Like, if you are agreeing to marry someone who has children, I think you're also agreeing to marry their children. But unfortunately, that's not the case in real life. Like, a lot of people have really shitty stepmoms and stepdads. And I think she's just, like, the example of, like, how you should handle a blended family. And I love her so much. And
she's, I love her so great. Much.
And she deserves better than she has and her husband. But you know what? That's another story.
When you said a lot of people have bad step parents, the first thing that came to mind for me that I wanted to say was just ask Cinderella.
Just ask. Good old Cinderella. How many evil stepmoms are there in Disney's tales? You know, y'all?
A lot.
Be more like Heidi. She's just, I love, like, basically, I'm a sucker for found family, and I love mm-hmm. any time that there is, like, a family, like, you didn't have to be, like,
yeah,
this person's family, and you are this person's family, and, like, that is just beautiful to me. So, yes. Heidi, she just has my heart 100%.
Mm-hmm.
This next one, I would just like to not participate in.
I know, this one's kind of mean. This one,
thanks, I hate it.
The next two are really, really kind of fucked up, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Truly fucked up.
And I kind of had an idea of who I wanted to move to the, what is it called? The Fancy Eight? No.
No, but I like that. The Fancy Eight, the Elite Eight, or the Great Eight, as it is often called. Mm. It has two terms, which I've never really understood, but
well,
I like Elite Eight because I like alliteration.
Yes. That makes more sense than fancy. But I had my thoughts for who I wanted to move forward. And this one, I truly don't know. It's so hard.
This is so hard. Bert is... Okay, I'm going to start with Bert first. Okay.
Okay, wait, everyone. Let's break it down.
All right, let's break it down. Let's see, it's being broken down. Okay. Bert... it was so important to me. Again, The Truth About Forever is the first book I ever read. It is my all-time favorite Sarah Dessen book because, like, I wouldn't be a Sarah Dessen fan if it wasn't The Truth About Forever. And I always mm-hmm. love every character. I love Macy. I love Christy. I love Monica. Don't even. I love everyone. But Bert is such a little weirdo. And you know we love our league a little weird. We love our little weirdos here at Hate Spinnerbait. And he is such a little weirdo. I love the Bertmobile. I love everything about him. I love him and Wes's relationship and Delia's relationship as well with them. I named my first car the Bertmobile, y'all. Okay? Like, Bert is everything to me. With that said. With that said, let's break it down now, okay? With that said, Keeping the Moon has become probably, besides The Truth About Forever, is, like, tied basically first place for me as favorite Dessen novels, which is so interesting because when I read it many moons ago, no pun intended, I was like, yeah, I'd like it, fine, it's, you know, it's good, whatever, but it didn't really, like, make an impact. Then we reread it for this podcast, and now having been a server and obviously finding so many friendships in serving and also just all of that, like, it just hit different for me, and it has just really meant a lot to me. And Sarah knows how much it means to us, and she gave us, like, this really cool, you know, copy of it, and it's like our little sister, the traveling pants. We, like, give it to each other.
It's my turn, by the way.
It's due. I probably should have, but I was very short on luggage space on our trip to Europe, so I didn't bring, that was the last time we saw each other, so I didn't bring it. But the next time I see Michael Ann, I do have to gift it back to her because it is her turn. I've had it for a while now on my bookshelf. And I just, Keeping the Moon means, it's like literally, like, these are the two books in the Dessenverse that mean the most to me. And we pit, like, two of my favorite mm-hmm. side characters. Well, they're three characters, but you know what I mean. But honestly, there is no Morgan without Isabel, vice versa. Again, Isabel is one of those people that I wish I was. Mm-hmm. Morgan is probably more who I was, which is a little bit more of a pushover. I love their friendship. We have talked before about how the next time Zara gets a book published and she does a reading, we want to all go to Flyleaf and do like a Sarah Dessen convention, like do like an Eras tour situation where we all show up in a different era. And Mike Lannon and I have already claimed Isabel and Morgan as our characters. So clearly these characters mean a lot to us. I think they're just like that perfect Sarah Dessen female friendship that they can call each other on each other's bullshits, but they're also going to be there for each other. So it's just like beautiful female friendship, which means everything to me, or like the OG little weirdo. Like, oh, that's so weird.
I know. It's really hard. Keeping the Moon was my first Dessen. It's my favorite Dessen. Always has been. It just holds like a really special place in my heart. And now, especially rereading it as an adult, it hits even more because are you gone?
Damn it. I don't, seriously, audio issues, y'all. This is the story of our life. And you were in the middle of this beautiful spiel, and all of a sudden I was like, oh no, I lost audio. It's back. We're good. It's fine.
We're good.
Okay. Carry on with what you were saying. I apologize.
Keeping the Moon's my favorite book. It does hit so much differently now that we're adults. We've worked in the service industry and we like kind of have a more grown up understanding of female friendships. Our frontal lobes are developed. So it's just like,
they recommend
10 out of 10. And like the whole Mira of it all, like it's just such a beautiful story. I just love it so much. And but Bert, he's like perfect. Such
a little weird. He's a perfect little nugget. I love him so much.
Mm-hmm. He is.
It's just so good. Another person. I know. This is literally Sophie's choice. This is terrible.
Yes. Yeah.
Flip a coin. I don't.
This is literally Sophie's choice. Really think about that statement.
Was it a bold thing to say? Maybe. Maybe. But I just want everyone to know. Yes. I mean, sure. Is it actually as serious as Sophie's choice?
No.
But it is important to me and it's very difficult. And I feel like either way, I'm letting one of my children down. And I just want all of my children to know that I love them.
It's so tough. It's really tough. I genuinely don't know. I genuinely can't pick.
This for me could truly be a final.
I know.
Sorry.
I know. I should have broken them up.
Yeah. Either way, one of them doesn't get to make it to the fancy eight. That makes me sad.
True.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
I don't know. Should we like flip a coin?
And then we do, and I'm like, no, I still don't like the answer. Okay. Do you have a coin by now?
No.
Very democratic way that we are doing this.
We can do it on, like, we can Google flip a coin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So heads, Isabel and Morgan. Tails, Bert. We just want them to know that we love them all equally.
Okay. Am I flipping it or are you?
All right. If you could flip it. Yes. Okay. But I say heads, Isabel and Morgan. Tails, Bert. That's what we're going with.
Yes. All right. Ready?
Yes. Their fate is about to be sealed.
We got Tails, which I think is Bert.
Bert, I think is what I said, right? Yes. I probably should have remembered that. But yes, because it's heads, Isabel and Morgan. Tails is Bert. Okay, are we locking in Bert? I told you we would do it, and we still in the group. We were like, no.
Okay. I can't lock in Bert.
Okay. Okay, wait a minute. I gotta think about this, guys. I hate it. Okay. All right. I'm going to say something.
Okay.
This is literally going to hurt my soul a little bit, but I think it's the right. Sometimes the right choice is the tough choice. Okay. Again, can't stress this enough, Bert. I love you. You were the name of my first car. You will always be my favorite little weirdo. You will always have a special place in my heart. But the importance of female friendship, I think, will always outweigh anything to me. And so, with that said, we're going with Isabel and Morgan.
We're going with Isabel and Morgan.
I think that's what we're doing. I think that's what we both feel in our heart of hearts.
Yes.
But I just want you to know, Bert, I love you forever.
I love you forever, Bert. I'm so Bert, sorry, Bert. But
I'm so sorry.
Destin is all about those female friendships, and they're so beautiful, and they need to be honored and respected yes. at all times.
Can we just discuss quickly, though, how great The Truth About Forever, like how full of great side characters it is.
Oh, my God.
We have three separate entries in our Sweet 16 here, and honestly, we could have put more. Like, we could have put Delia. We could have put, like, there are so many good side characters. Jason, actually, is also true. So, really, we have four characters in The Truth About Forever that are on here. And that is how good of a, like, it's just hard how many side characters there are in that novel. Some of you had to be left out. I'm sorry. Okay.
That novel was really stinking good.
So good. Monica and Morris is our next up to yeah. that here. It's another difficult one. Morris. Morris has my heart. I feel Morris. I love how just, like, how inept he is in certain ways, like how lazy everyone says he is. But really, honestly, this is a great pairing because both of them are both just like, I'm gonna do it when I want to do it. Like mm-hmm. they're slow. But I think at the end of the day, they're both really good people. Monica obviously having that great moment with Macy where they talk about, you know, things, and she kind of parrots back to her. You know, she always talks in these one-word answers, and just when Macy needs this like lightning moment of clarity, Monica repeats back to her something that she said, and she's like, Monica does listen and she's a good person. And then Morris, again, is just so good at like seeing, he's honestly truly a great friend. He's so good at seeing Emmeline. Look at me, I'm doing it.
There you go.
Emily, he's much better than Luke is at knowing when Emmeline is upset. Mm-hmm. I love that he's a hot mess express, but everyone loves him. I love that like her dad can't fire him, like he keeps him around because he's just like, it's Morris. Like, you gotta love Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a tricky one because I love them both very dearly. And I do think that they share a lot in common. So it's an even match.
Yeah, that's why I put them together. I knew immediately they had to be head to head.
Yeah.
I think for this one, and I don't know if it's just because it's the book we're currently reading, but I feel like Morris should move on to the Fancy Eight.
To the Fancy Eight, we're going Morris. I don't know if it's recency bias, but I'm okay with that. Again, I love Monica. I love Don't Even. But I just think, and again, this is unfair to her because she just happens to come from a novel where there are so many impactful characters, side characters, yeah. I mean, just characters in general, that of them, I don't think she's my favorite. So with that, I'm willing to give Morris a leg up here.
Yeah.
We're going Morris. To the Fancy Eight. You go, Morris.
All right. Oh, Morris, you're so fancy.
All right, last in the Sweet 16, we have the Clementine girls, and we have our girl.
Is this even a conversation? Is this a competition?
I think we all know who we're voting for here. You know we love Deb. We love a girl who loves an acronym that much. She is everything. I want her to have an entire spinoff novel. Truly, make Deb the lead character. Please, she deserves it. But just quickly to give some love to Clementine girls, because I do love them. I love how much they showed Auden that girly girls can still be really smart and badass and awesome. There's nothing wrong, obviously, with liking what you like. Be basic. Love pumpkin spice. Love fashion. Love pink. Maggie's a badass. She's great. They're great. This is no disrespect to the lovely ladies of Clementines. I just think that for me, it is hard to not move on Deb, obviously.
It's very difficult to not choose Deb. I mean, Deb is
everything.
Deb is my whole world, basically. Yeah, I will burn the city down for Deb.
Burn it down.
Yeah.
Burn down the whole damn world for my girl Deb. Mm-hmm. All right. So here we have our Fancy Eight locked in. We have Scarlett versus Mira Sparks. We have Christy versus Mallory. Oh. Heidi versus Isabel and Morgan. And Morris versus Deb. That is our Fancy Eight, everyone.
That's our Fancy Eight.
We will make it to, what would you like to call the, what is the four?
The four?
Please come for the term for us.
Oh, no.
Oh, no,
the Distinguished Fancy. Four.
The Distinguished Four. We are now about to go from the Fancy Eight to the Distinguished Four, everyone, okay? It's very distinguished. Okay. Scarlett versus Mira Sparks. Obviously, y'all have just heard of Sparks Poetic about both of them and why they're awesome. This is... I'm going to say it again, but this is tough.
This is tough.
It's a little... Okay, and, like, I might get some flack for this and, like, come at me. Don't, actually, I'm very sensitive. I'm actually a wee little baby girl, and my feelings get hurt very easily. So don't come at me, but, like, think these thoughts loudly in your head if you want.
Yes.
But this is... It is tough, but... I am definitely leaning one way, and this is not to discredit Scarlett, who I know a lot of people have love for. Again, I can't stress enough, I myself have love for her as well. But I just think that Mira is just a more interesting character. Like, I don't want to say more interesting. Like, Scarlett is obviously very interesting, and she has a very, very important storyline, very pivotal storyline. Sometimes heartbreaking, sometimes absolutely heartwarming. We love her. And poor, poor thing. I mean, I can't imagine being in high school and having your first love pass away and then also be finding out that you're pregnant with this child and, like, your whole complicated relationship with your mom and all that jazz. But anyways, with that said...
Yes.
I just think for me it's Mira, everyone. I'm sorry. I just love Mira. I can't tell you why. I can't rationalize it. I just... That is what my heart tells me to do.
I think I'll probably have to go with Mira as well. But it's tough because Scarlett is that, like, original, beautiful female friendship.
Yes. And I agree.
It's like, does the female friendship beat everything?
Yeah. I mean, it did earlier today, so maybe. But I just think it's like, okay, when I'm looking at who we have in the Fancy Eight and who might advance to the Distinguished Four, I feel like I have a female, like, I have a female friendship down the line that I could potentially be. I'm not necessarily saying that that's who I'm going for, but I have that. So it's like, I still have that. And I just think that Mira is
unique
and important in her own right, not to diminish Scarlett's importance, which is obviously awesome. We live in a time, obviously, like, we live in a post-teen mom world, okay, everyone? But let's harken back to, obviously, when someone like you came out. I almost, like, forgot the title there, Jesus. When someone like you came out, like, it was a very brave, like, yes, obviously people, like, talked about teen mom. It wasn't, like, completely blasphemous, but it was kind of a brave thing to talk about. And we discussed, like, abortion is discussed in her storyline, like, as a possibility. And, like, there are a lot of really important milestones and important things that I think Scarlett represents. And I don't want to diminish that. I think she's a very important character and I love her a lot. I just think, as we've mentioned, with how much Keeping the Moon means to us and how much... I don't know. I just think something about Mira, she just means a lot to me.
Yeah. Okay. You've sold me. We're going Mira.
Okay. You've sold me. But again, I just want to, everyone that we've eliminated, I have nothing but love for.
Yes.
They are all fantastic. Y'all, I never thought in my wildest dreams that Bert would go out in the first round. So, but here we are. Like, sometimes things happen. Okay. So the first person who is locked in their spot to the Distinguished Four. Is Sparks. We love that for her. Okay. We have Christy versus Mallory, which honestly, this is also a great pairing because Mallory is Christy and like when she is a little teenager. The two of them would get along swimmingly. And
I agree.
I love that for them. Mallory is, like we said earlier in the episode, she's fantastic. I love everything that she represents. I love that she's just like this little fangirl, loves to dress up. Loves to annoy her brother. We love that. Christy, though, again, just a great female friendship, especially because our girl Macy is struggling. At the beginning of this novel, she is with Amanda and Bethany in the library. She has Jason, who's more worried about brain camp than her. Her mom doesn't talk to her. Her sister's gone off and, you know, she's, I don't know, married to a rich guy now. And, like, they're, redoing a beach house. And I feel like Macy is very much alone, obviously, after her father's passing. And Christy and the World of Wish really opens up a lot to her. And so I think she's a great, again, another beautiful demonstration of female friendship. I think she's I just love, she's just fantastic. Like, I just love everything about her. Like I said earlier, I wish I could have been as brave as she was when I was a teenager. I love how just like spunky and fantastic she is and fashionable. And this is tough for me because, again, I think Mallory is so awesome. But I lean ever so slightly toward Christy here, I think.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Christy is the obvious choice here. I love Mallory, but I do think she belongs in the Fancy Eight.
Yeah, I think that's as far as she's going to get, you know?
Yeah.
And we say that with love, Mallory.
Much love,
Mallory. All right. Whew, this is another one where I'm just going to say, thanks, I hate it. And that is, we have a made our bed, and I have to lay in it. It's Isabel and Morgan versus Heidi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hate it.
I hate this one.
Hate it. Don't like it.
And they're friends.
And they're friends. They're literally friends. Oh my god, how could we do this to them? We made a mistake. Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally canonically friends.
Oh, yes. Somewhere in Destin Land, they are enjoying a bottle of wine together. I know it.
And I just want everyone to know that truly, if we were to ask them, they would tell us to pick the other, because that's the kind of people they are. They'd be like, no, pick Heidi. No, you should pick Isabel and Morgan because they're so great. And they would say that about each other. And
they would.
I'm inclined to agree with them. It's hard to
choose. I am leaning ever so slightly to Isabel and Morgan. Again, I think it's just like my soul connection to Keeping the Moon. And I think that Heidi is a very important character, and I think she does bring a lot to Auden's life. But I think that Isabel and Morgan are like part of Coley being saved. Like, and not by the Lord, but just in general.
To be clear, just in general life. Yeah, I also, just selfishly, if you're going to eliminate Bert in the first round, I need you to make it to the Distinguished Four. Like, you need to make it far in this tournament to make me be okay with that loss for Bert. So I think that, again, I can't stress enough. I think it's evidently very clear how much we love Heidi, but I think it has to be Isabel and Morgan here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Locked in.
Lock it. All right. And then last, but certainly not least, we have Morris and Deb.
Deb.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, y'all, but like, do we even have to argue? And you know, like, we love Morris, but like, Deb.
It's Deb. It's always Deb.
It's always Deb. The answer will always be Deb.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, not sorry. Okay, except we're about to put Deb against Isabel and Morgan, so it's probably going to be a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Okay, next we have Christy versus Mira Sparks for our first matchup in the Distinguished Four. Yeah. Who will be making it to the Taylor Swift Bowl? Because she is a champion her first year in the NFL. So we're going to call the championship match the Taylor Swift Bowl. And no one's allowed to be mad about that. Yeah. So, okay. I could have seen this outcome. I wasn't certain we would get to this outcome, but I could have seen it, seeing that they were on the same side of the bracket. And this is tricky.
This is really tough.
Truly the people we have matched, it's like Mallory is that person at 13. Then it's Christy, a little bit older. Christy turns into Mira Sparks one day. Like, she definitely, like, all of these people would get along. They all have that, like, vibe. So it's just like, do you want it at a teenager or do you want it when she's a little bit later in life? You know? They're both equally fantastic, spunky women who kind of have, you know, Christy obviously has, they both have a sister. It's both two. They're just a girl with a sister. Crazy. They both.
Girl with a sister.
Like, I'm like spinning a conspiracy or something. Birds aren't real. After this weekend, y'all, with people's conspiracies, I was like, can we go back to harmless conspiracies again? I liked that. you know, just nice things like Jay-Z wearing a half wig. That's a harmless conspiracy. That's not going to hurt anyone. Anyways, so with that said, now that I've gone on that tangent, Mira has a sister. Christy has a sister. They're both fantastic people. They both, like, obviously Christy had the traumatic life experience that she had. Mira, I wouldn't really say, I mean, I guess everyone in life has trauma. Like, she kind of had some things growing up as well. Mm-hmm. And it's made them who they are. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is tough. One of them is the reason, though, that to this day I still say swoon. So Christy does get a little bit of a leg up for that, you know?
I think that...
Pretty iconic.
I think in my heart of hearts, Christy was always going to win this one.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And I love Mira so much. I really do. But same. I just... Oh, Christy has such a special place in my heart, truly.
She really does.
Okay, yeah. She's making it to the Taylor Swift Bowl. Congratulations!
Yay!
I'm on board right now. I could be like, yeah, Christy! To the Taylor Swift Bowl. Okay. All right. Last in the distinguished chart, our final matchup is Deb versus Velen Morgan. And this is the first time that Deb actually has some steep competition. And yet still, I just love Deb so much.
And still, I'm like, this is so difficult because Isabella and Morgan have like such a place in my heart. Like, keeping the moon is just part of my soul at this point. And, but Deb, she's so good. And she's like, she is a little bit more fleshed out than them, I think, as well.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
Because again,
we love you, Isabel and Morgan.
Yes. But, because I do feel like her side characters really like evolved over time.
Oh, 100%. Which, again, I think is the unfair things to the earlier people, like the Boo and Stewarts and the Scarlets and such. Gwendolyn Rogers, for sure, is the one we probably know the least about.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard when you're Gwendolyn Rogers to go up against someone who we, like, really got to spend time with and has made multiple appearances in other novels and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
That's, I feel for all of you and the earlier novels too. Again, the earlier novels were a little shorter. So just by length, you have less time. Mm-hmm. So that's, I do feel like the thing that I think means so much to me about Deb, besides her just being an absolute awesome sauce angel face, is I feel such a kinship towards Deb. Like, she's such a little weirdo, and she is like a goody two shoes, and she just like is a nice, good person. I feel like that makes me sound conceited to be like, I feel like a kinship with her. And then I'm like, what a great person she is. I don't mean it like that. And they're like, to my own horn wave by any means. But just like, she's a little nerdy. I feel so bad, but like, she is such a nice, awesome, interesting person, and no one wanted to be friends with her. And that makes my heart so sad for her. And I love that she is just so true to who she is, much like, again, Christy, who I kind of mentioned, and Mira too. Like, I am getting better in my older age, you know, now that my frontal lobe is fully developed, about being like, this is who I am, take it or leave it, whatever. But when I was a teenager, I was like, don't mention that you watch this show just in case people think that's lame, or don't do this or don't do that. And I love that Deb just lets her freak flag fly and is like, take it or leave it. Like, it'd be cool to have friends, but like, she's so caring. Like, she had such a hard year when she first started there. And so her first thing is to start a club to try to, like, when new people come in, make sure they don't feel that way. And like,
I know.
She's such a good person to her core, and she's such a little weirdo. And I feel for her. I like see myself in her in certain ways, and I just love her little perfectionist. She's also very much like my friend Katie and the type A personality. She's, and also being an absolute sweetheart, because Katie's an absolute sweetheart. So maybe that is why, because I know a Deb that I feel such a kinship to her. But she means a lot to me. But with that said, Isabella Morgan, I think we have made abundantly clear, mean a lot to us as well. And keeping the moon and just the service industry, and
yeah,
so it's tough, but it is, I will say it is slightly unfair to people like Isabel and Morgan who don't get as much, you know, book time, obviously, as someone like a Deb or a Christy, for instance, who obviously has already made it to the Taylor Swift Bowl, that, you know, they got to be a lot more fleshed out. So
yeah,
that is good for them. Unfair to certain other characters.
So I think we are in agreement that it's Deb.
As much as it pains me to say, because I love Isabel and Morgan so much, but like, Deb like fits all our things. Like, she's part mm-hmm. of a great female friendship. She is a little weirdo. She's still like her own. She checks all those boxes.
She really like embodies the spirit of like, and I mean, we don't like know her super well, but like the kindness, I feel like, is very Sarah Dessen, like the person. Yeah. So yeah. Like, I feel like she deserves to move on.
Right.
Not only because her storyline's amazing, but also because it's like, I feel like we got a little bit of Sarah in there.
Yeah. And I mean, Sarah herself has basically said that, like, she was so obsessed with Deb that her editors were like, stop. Like, she's nothing yes. a character of this book. Like, so you need to tone it down on the Deb. But like, that is how much Deb just like pulls you in. Like, mm-hmm. you're like, I want to spend all my time with Deb. Honestly, halfway through that novel, I've been like, we're scrapping this. Deb is just the main character.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm getting rid of Deb because she is getting her own book. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Like, cause she's just absolutely iconic. Deb versus Christy. Again, in my heart of hearts, I think I knew this is where we were going, but I would have never seen that this is where we were going at the same time, because I was like, oh, I don't know. We could have some upsets in it, but this character is so good and that character is so good. So it was hard to completely nail down. But this, now that I'm seeing that this is our Taylor Swift Bowl, makes perfect sense to me, honestly, that this would be where we end up.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, Deb versus Christy. Deb also gets... Like, I just also want to make it clear, because people are like, recency bias, because, like, this is the book you just finished, da, 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 da. And it's like, yeah, but no. Like, even, she's just that good. Like, she's just yeah. that kind of character. Okay. Deb and Christy. I don't know. What are your thoughts? That's just tricky.
It's tricky. Deb has just, like, so many layers. You know, she has so many surprises up her sleeve. She carries gum around for people if they want gum, and
she's just such a kind soul.
And I love Christy. I also believe Christy is a kind soul as well. She's a bit more fun, a bit more, I don't know, not a bit more fun,
edgy.
Yeah,
like a little bit more edgy in a way, I feel like.
Yeah, she is a bit more edgy. Oh my god, I don't know. Somebody filled this bracket out and was like, I'm not picking between Christy and Deb. Thanks, bye.
And you know what? I feel that in my soul, actually. I truly feel that in my soul now that I've put myself in the predicament of having to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky. Yeah,
it's so tough.
Deb is, like I said, she's fascinating. She has all these like layers, like you were saying. And she just has that kindness that is just so, not to say that obviously Christy is unkind, but yeah, but then like Christy has this like level of coolness that kind of gives her like a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, she's very cool.
Very cool. She's so cool. I'm sure this cool is her. But gosh, I don't know. I just feel like,
I feel like. It's Deb.
I mean, every time we get to something with Deb, we're like, but it's like it's been our easiest, yeah. like going through. It's always easy. And I think if it's always easy, we just need to go with what feels right. And it's Deb, right? Like, we have been basically petitioning for her to get her own novel. So
it's Deb.
It's Deb. With love to all these characters, with love to Sarah for giving us all these characters that made this like very silly, fun thing actually very difficult to do. You're an absolute queen. Thank you for just everything that you do. And thank you for being so sweet and helping us with our 100th episode giveaways, which y'all seem to be liking. So that's cool. thanks if you've been here since day one listening. If you just are coming in at this one, thanks for coming and hanging out with us. Thanks for listening. Deb is our queen. What is the champion called, Michael Ann?
Oh my goodness. What is the champion called? The champion, Little Weirdo.
Little Weirdo. We have crowned our little weirdo.
We have crowned our little weirdo.
And of course it's Deb.
Of course.
Perfect for her. So yes, our little weirdo is Deb. We are so proud of her. Cheers. And yeah, 100 episodes in. Can't wait to do many more. We'll be back for chaos. And the next week, we're going to dive back into Moon and More.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, it's, I don't know. Any wrap-up thoughts on episode 100, baby?
So we dropped the first giveaway on Monday. So I'll announce the winner on Wednesday. And if you don't know about it, go to our Instagram. Get your comments in there, your shares, your likes, etc. Tell your friends. Yes. Give us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And take care of yourselves, especially now in
Dear
this
Lord.
Beautiful time that we are living in.
For all you Americans out there, which is most of our audience, may the force be with all of us.
Yeah. May we all just get through it. It's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is air conditioning worth it, y'all? I don't know.
No. I'll sit in an ice bath.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that the answer is no.
All right.
Take care of yourselves, everyone. Yes. And thanks.
We love
thanks
you.
Stay weird.
Stay weird, baby.
Bye.
Bye.